All right, well, over the last several weeks, we've been doing this kind of a mini-series here at the Devotionals on Monday afternoons called Receiving Your Miracle, Receiving Your Miracle. And several weeks ago, we talked about the necessary puzzle piece, the thing that God is looking for in us in order for us to receive the miracle that He has for us. And the thing that God is looking for is faith. The Word of God clearly tells us the one thing that pleases God, the one thing that God is looking for is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God is looking for our trust, our faith, our belief in him, that he can perform this miracle in our lives, right? We can have faith that God is about to move in our lives. But friends, God is requiring something else. We have got to take a step of faith towards the miracle that God has for us. And you know, the thing is, if you have a negative self-image, if you think very small of yourself, guess what? You could never take that step of faith to receive the miracle that God has for you. And we talked about how valuable we are to God. God values us so very much that each and every single one of us here this afternoon is worth just as much in the heart of God as the president of a nation, just as much as a wealthy person. And last week we talked about forgiving yourself. That, you know, if you constantly go back to your past, well, I did this in the past, I messed up this way, I did this wrong, I said this wrong thing, that did that wrong thing, thought that wrong thing, and you're constantly beating up on yourself and not forgiving yourself, you'll never be confident enough to take the step of faith that God wants you to take in faith to receive the miracle that he has for you. Does that make sense? So forgiving yourself. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all of your sins up until the point that you accepted Jesus were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sinful past. He doesn't see the wrong things you did and said. He sees Jesus. He sees you as a clean slate. He sees you as his word says. He sees you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are gone, the old is gone, and the new has come. When you accepted Jesus, you are a brand new creation in the sight and in the heart of God. So when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And the way God sees you is the way you've got to see yourself. Friends, do not be imprisoned by the bars of regret. I could have, I would have, I should have. Had I done this, I would have married this person. Had I done that, I would have had this career. Had I gone to this place, I would have had that education, gone to that school. Would have, could have, should have. Don't be imprisoned by regret. Don't hold a record of wrongs against yourself. Paul the Apostle writes a wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, right, on God's love. What is a core element of God's love? What's a major part of God's love? It's forgiveness. Forgiving yourself. Remember the lawyer that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, 36. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as you what yourself? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. What's one of the ways that you love yourself? Forgiving yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. Friends, do not be imprisoned by the past. The devil is a liar and he is the author of all lies. Guess who brings up your past to your mind? Guess who brings up guilt and condemnation? The devil. But the Word of God says what? There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, right? So when the devil tries to put a guilt trip on you, quote the word. He hates the word. The devil flees from the word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The word of God says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Quote that word and he's got to flee. Now, think about this. When you start to love yourself, when you start to forgive yourself, the love of God growing on the inside of you, guess what? That love of God growing on the inside of you will begin to overflow into your relationships with others. So this afternoon, I want to talk to you guys about forgiving others. Forgiving others. And it's such an important part of life. You know, do you know the one thing that can block God's miracle and blessing from your life? There's one thing that could block God's miracle and blessing from your life. There's several things. But one of the things that can block the blessing of God, the miracle of God in your life is what? It's bitterness and unforgiveness. God has got a great miracle for you, friends. He's got the miracle of financial provision, the miracle of emotional peace on the inside. He's got the miracle of physical healing for your bodies. He's got the miracle of deliverance for you, deliverance from drugs, alcohol, a wrong relationship, deliverance from looking at things with your eyes that are not right to look at. God has got the miracle of deliverance in store for you. He's your Heavenly Father. He loves you and me so very much. But we've got to learn to walk in a spirit and an attitude of forgiveness toward our offenders. Now, you know, when you get up in the morning and you go about your daily activities, guess what? You're going to be in contact with at least one person every day of your life, right? And offenses are bound to come, friends. You know, as you're going about your daily activities, walking around the grounds here, going to class, maybe going to work, maybe walking the streets of downtown Tulsa, you're going to meet somebody, you're going to interact with somebody that may say or do something that does not quite sit right with you. They're going to do something, they're going to say something that may be offensive to you. Maybe you're trying to lose weight, and a long-lost friend comes up and says, man, it looks like you gained 20 or 30 pounds, man. And all at once you get offended. How dare he say that I've gained weight. I've been trying to lose weight, and he says I've gained weight. I want nothing to do with him, and you cut that person off. That's not an attitude of God's love. That's an attitude of bitterness and offense. And you know, if you allow that seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart, and you think about that offense, and you think about the wrong thing the person said or did, and think about it, and you nurture that seed of offense, guess what? That seed of offense could eventually become what? A root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, if unchecked, can become a tree of hatred and murder. Let's look at what the author of Hebrews 12 writes concerning this. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what he writes. Verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. He's telling us what? Make sure that you do not allow the seed of offense to take a hold of your heart. That seed of offense, he's saying, could become a bitter root. And if you allow bitterness to grow on the inside of your heart, guess what? The blessing of God could be stopped from coming into your life. Now, what does the word forgiveness mean? What does the word forgiveness mean? Forgiveness is releasing a debt that someone has against you. Whether that debt be a thing, whether it be money, or whether it be an apology. Well, the least he could do is give me an apology for what he said. He said, you know, it looks like I'm gaining weight, man. I'm not gaining weight. I was trying to lose weight. At least he could say, I'm sorry for making a comment like that, right? So you feel that this person owes you an apology. But what does forgiveness say to do? Forgiveness says, release that person from having to owe you an apology, right? All right, let me give you a personal story here. A couple of years ago, back in 06, a friend of mine said, hey, let's go to this other country to this conference. And he said, basically, I paid for his plane ticket. But he said, pay for my in-country expenses, my housing and my food. He said, and when we get back to Tulsa, he said, I'll pay you back. So he said, I'll pay you back, I think he said, within a month. So a month went by, he never paid his debt towards me. 2 months went by, never paid that debt. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And after about 6 or 7 months, I noticed, man, I'm getting a little upset with this guy. He owes me some money that I lent him, and he's not paying it back. So I started to see that the seed of offense was being planted in the soil of my heart, right? So I was like, man, I don't like the way I feel on the inside. There's like turmoil, there's dis-ease on the inside. Because I'm getting a little bitter towards this friend of mine who owes me some money. So I was praying about it, thinking about it. I just sensed on the inside that I should release him of the debt and just forgive him. Just say, you know what, you don't owe me a penny of that money when we were out of country. So I communicated with him, I think by email, and said, you know what? I said, I forgive you. You don't owe me a penny. Take it as a blessing and a gift from God. And he communicated with me some time later and said, man, brother, why did you do that? That was awesome. Thank you for forgiving me. So what did I do? Released him from the debt by forgiveness. What did I do? I cut bitterness at the root. And so I no longer had the feeling of dis-ease and turmoil on the inside towards this person. I was back in relationship with him. And guys, you know, there may be somebody out there that owes you some money. Maybe somebody out there that you feel owes you an apology. Owes you something. And if you're like, man, they owe me. Me. They owe it to me. I'm not going to let them go until they give it to me. Guess what? You're walking in an attitude of unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's going to hurt you. Do you know what unforgiveness is like? This is what it's like. The other person that may have offended you is maybe doing good and well. They may think they've done nothing wrong. They're on their merry way, living carefree. And you're over here upset. Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. You're carrying a burden on your back when you're bitter that you don't need to carry. You could be in China and your offender could be in Tulsa. And you could be just controlled and burdened by what this person did wrong to you. Does that make sense? So what do you have to do? You've got to let it go. You know, forgiveness is a life or death situation. Now imagine, guys, if you're up on this roof, 30 feet up in the air. Anybody here ever been up on a roof? Maybe a flat roof or a pitched roof? Those pitched roofs you got to be careful on, right? So you're working on a roof. You got to be real careful if the roof has this kind of pitch, right, walking up it. Because if you make a wrong move and you're careless, you could fall off and lose your life, right? Being on a pitched roof is a life or death situation. Well, guess what? In our spiritual walk with God, forgiveness is an eternal life or eternal death situation. Forgiveness is an eternal life or eternal death situation. Now, let me ask you this. What is our eternal life, salvation, based upon? Think about it. What is your eternal life, your guarantee of eternal life in heaven one day, based upon?
Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection.
That's right, but it's based upon God's forgiveness of our sins based on the work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, right? Our eternal life is based upon the fact that God has forgiven our sins in Jesus when we said, Jesus, become my Savior and my Lord, right? So that's what our eternal life is based upon, right? But now look at what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? If you forgive your offender, God will forgive your offenses against him, against God. But if you do not forgive your offenders, neither will God forgive you of your offenses against him. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's pretty heavy. Basically, what the Word of God is saying here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 is this. You know what a molehill is, right? Just a little hill that moles make. And if we don't forgive the molehills of offenses that others have committed against us, then God won't forgive the mountains of sin that we've committed against Him. And we're doing what? If we don't forgive the offenses of others against us, we are playing with fire eternally, and you may get burned. Let me put it this way. If you're not walking in forgiveness toward your offender, it's very likely that God is not walking in forgiveness toward you. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 says it. What does the Word of God say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1? Ephesians 5, verse 1. What does Paul the Apostle write to the Ephesians? He writes, "Be therefore," or "be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children." But let's look at the verse right before that, Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." What is he saying? Just as God forgave you of your offenses against Him, forgive others of their offenses against you. "Be therefore imitators," he goes on to say, "of God." What is God? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 24 hours, 7 days a week, God is what? God is a forgiver. From eternity past into eternity future, He will also always be a forgiver. If we're to imitate God in this sense of forgiveness, what does that mean about us? That means that we're to be forgivers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Does that make sense? You know, when you wake up in the morning, friends, determine it in your heart that, you know what? Offenses will come against me today. Somebody will offend me today. But I have already forgiven that person in advance before they even offend me. Determine in your heart when you wake up in the morning to walk in advance in forgiveness towards somebody who may offend you. Who may offend you. You know, physically, think about it. Physically. How do you build up your physical immune system, your physical body? How do you keep it healthy? By a good diet, right? Exercise will keep you physically fit. It'll keep your physical immune system strong. Spiritually, amongst other practices, the practice of forgiveness will keep your spiritual immune system what? Strong against attacks from the enemy. If you're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness towards an offender, guess what? You're leaving a door open in your life for the enemy to come in and attack you. I've experienced this myself, especially in 2006. I was just kind of walking in unforgiveness towards certain people. Couldn't let the debt go. Couldn't release them. And it's like I kept the door open in my life for the enemy to come in and play with my mind and to tempt me and to put wrong thoughts in my mind. So if you're walking in unforgiveness towards somebody, somebody who's offended you, a parent, a loved one, a friend, a fellow employee, a coworker, somebody's done something or said something to offend you and you're walking in unforgiveness, you won't release that person until they say, "I'm sorry," until they give you that money that they owe you. If you don't release them, you're leaving a door open in your heart for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in your life. So how do you shut that door against the enemy? How do you shut that door to the enemy coming in? You forgive your offender. Forgive your offender. Amen? I got a little thing here. It's called Forgiveness Character First-ish Bulletins, Series 3, Number 10. And, you know, when you don't forgive, not only does it harm you, but it harms others. Paul the Apostle writes what in Hebrews chapter 12? Remember, we just read it? He says, "Let no bitter root grow up on the inside of you to cause trouble and defile many." Now, listen to this. July 8th, 2003. Workers at an aircraft parts manufacturing plant ran screaming for cover as Doug Williams opened fire with his 12-gauge shotgun. Williams had attended part of the annual sensitivity and ethics training session that morning. Before walking out, he reportedly told co-workers, "Y'all can handle this." He returned a few minutes later and opened fire, killing two. He then proceeded to the plant floor where he killed three more people before killing himself. Williams had worked at the Meridian, Mississippi plant for 19 years. Co-workers described him as an angry man who kept score of the co-workers and managers he believed had slighted him. Mr. Williams was mad at the world. This man had an issue with everybody, co-worker Hubert Threat told the Associated Press. The shooting shocked the surrounding community. Almost everyone knows someone who works in the building or has a relative who works in the building. Lauderdale County Board of Supervisors President Craig Hitt told an AP reporter. Could you imagine this? He killed people. He opened fire, killing two. And then he killed three more people before killing himself. Why did he kill all these people? Because he was a bitter man. Not only did he harm himself, but he defiled and brought trouble to many other families. He killed other people. Why? Because he did not close the door to bitterness in his life. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus gives us a really good teaching in this chapter of Matthew 18. About a brother who sins against you. Verses 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, verse 15, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if somebody offends you, what does Jesus say to do? Somebody hurts you or offends you, what do you do? Number one, try to talk to that person one-on-one, right? Say, you know what, man, you said so-and-so, you said like looked like I was gaining weight and that really offended me. And the guy may say, well, you know what, man, I'm sorry, I was just trying to joke around with you. If he doesn't want to listen to you and thinks, you know what, I didn't say anything wrong, I didn't offend you, bring somebody else along. Take one or two others along. And if he still refuses to understand how he offended you, tell it to the church. Now, you don't go to the whole church and say, you know what, this man was wrong, he offended me in something he said. You know what I'm saying? You don't stand up in front of a whole church and say, hey, that's the guy who hurt me. It says take it to the church. What does that mean? That means take it to a leader in the church so that leader can listen to both sides and try to bring peace, right? So bring it to the church, right? And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. How did Jesus treat the pagans and the tax collectors? He walked in love towards them regardless. He loved them anyway and released them. So if the person who offended you in something they said or did doesn't see how they offended you and is like, please give me a break, guy, I didn't offend you, what do? Treat that person like a pagan or a tax collector. What does that mean? Walk in forgiveness and love towards them anyway. Release them. Let them go. They don't owe you a thing. All right? See, because forgiveness is what? Think about it. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice that you make with your heart and your minds. You know, if the same feelings come up on the inside of you, feelings of anger and bitterness come up on the inside of you concerning an incident that happened 5, 10, or 20 years ago, if those same feelings come up when you think about that incident 5 years ago, guess what? That's a good gauge that perhaps you haven't forgiven that person. That's a good gauge that you probably have not forgiven that person. In verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? The forgiveness you loose towards others will be the forgiveness that heaven looses toward you. Does that make sense? The forgiveness you loose toward others is the forgiveness that heaven, that God, looses toward you. You can't base your forgiveness on the other person's response. You may go up to that person and say, you know what, man, you hurt me in what you said, in what you did. Maybe like, they might just laugh and chuckle, laugh in your face. Even if they laugh in your face and chuckle, guess what? Forgive them anyway. Because your forgiveness is not based on their response. You'd probably want a response like, yes, I did offend you, didn't I? And what I said, I am so sorry. It's easier to forgive a person when they do that. But if they don't do that and they laugh at you when you bring it to them, forgive them anyway. Because your forgiveness is not based on how the other person responds. It's a decision that you make with your heart and your mind. And it's not a feeling. So how do you uproot these feelings of anger, animosity, and unforgiveness? Number one, how many here have heard of praying in the Spirit? We pray in English to God, right? We talk to God in English, but we can also pray with heavenly tongues, right? Have you heard of that before? Has anybody here ever prayed in tongues? Well, if you haven't prayed in tongues, today's your opportunity to ask God for that gift. But one of the ways to uproot feelings of unforgiveness is to start praying to God. Prayer does what? Prayer changes things. Prayer takes a hardened heart, right? And makes it a soft heart. Prayer takes an unforgiving heart that you may have and can make it into a forgiving heart. Does that make sense? So one of the ways to start walking in forgiveness is to start praying to God. Prayer, praying in the Spirit, builds you up on the inside to have the strength to forgive. Pray God's Word over your life. Let God's words, His Word, condition your thoughts and your action. You know, God is a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Say this to yourself over and over. I'm an imitator of God according to Ephesians 5:1. God is a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so I am going to imitate God and be a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Does that make sense? Speak God's word over your life. Just as God in Christ has forgiven me, I will forgive my offenders. And the words that you speak over you continually, you'll start to believe. What better words to speak over yourself than the Word of God, right? If you start speaking the Word of God over yourself constantly, continually, you'll start to walk according to the Word of God. Another way to uproot feelings of unforgiveness. This is so practical, friends. But stop talking about your offender and his offense. Or and her offense, whatever it might be. See, if you feed your feelings of unforgiveness by talking about your offense, guess what? You starve your love walk. Say that again. If you feed your feelings of unforgiveness by constantly talking about the offense, you're starving your love walk. On the other hand, now listen to this. If you starve your feelings of bitterness by not talking about your offense, then you feed and grow your what? Your love walk. One of the ways to walk in forgiveness is to not talk about your offender and his offense. And what you don't talk about and think about, you starve, right? And if you starve those feelings of bitterness by not talking about the offender and his offense, then you're feeding and growing your love walk. You're feeding and growing this spirit of forgiveness that you're to be walking in, right? So let's not concentrate on the negative. Let's eliminate the negative and concentrate on the positive. Amen? Does that make sense? How do you starve your feelings of unforgiveness? Replace conversations of your offender and his offense with conversations about whom? With conversations about God and His goodness in your life. Replace negative conversations with conversations about whom? With conversations about God, right? And how good He is and the good thing He wants to do for you. Amen? You agree with that this afternoon? So say it with me this afternoon. Say, I'm going to walk. Say it. I'm going to walk in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm giving the devil no place in my life due to bitterness. I am closing that door. The enemy does not have any place in my heart. In Jesus' name. Because I am a forgiver. Just like God is. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to determine on the inside to walk in forgiveness before somebody even offends me. Offends me. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't talk about your offender. Don't talk about his offense. When you starve that conversation, you starve your bitterness, you feed your love walk. You feed your walk of forgiveness and love. Does that make sense? God loves you guys so very much. And you know, you guys may be in contact with somebody who is abusing you, who's talking down on you constantly, physically abusing you or talking down, making you feel this small. Like you can do a push-up under a penny. They're making you feel real small. Guess what you got to do at that point? You don't get personal retaliation on the person, but you've got to separate yourself from that person, right? So that person doesn't keep heaping those wrong words and thoughts into your life. Does that make sense? So if somebody is continually talking down on you, you know, offending you, making you feel small, at that point, just, you know what, love them regardless. Don't retaliate. Vengeance is God's. But separate yourself from that person and let God work on them. Amen? All right.